Hare Krishna, here I am in Manchester. Needless to say, it's raining. We had a very nice program yesterday, full temple, 10 sets were taken by devotees with promise that more would come, more devotees would come back to take other sats. So it was very rewarding, and another program is in store again this evening. Today I've got a series of questions here from Manjari Devi Dasi, and the first one is, she's saying that in order for Gayatri Mantra to really work, devotees need to hear it from the spiritual master in this succession. But because the Gayatri Mantras also have Krishna's names, what benefit is there to be gained and what benefit is not gained to those who chant without receiving the mantra from the spiritual master? People who chant Krishna's names become purified at heart, Cheto Darpana Marjanam. Therefore we can say that even people who chant Gayatri mantras without permission, they become purified. What is it that they don't get? Well, they certainly don't get the full benefit of the mantra and the benefit of our Gayatri mantra, specifically our Panchatriki mantras, or Divyagyan, understanding the transcendental form of the Lord, attaining love of Godhead, and going back home, back to Godhead. Those devotees are not empowered to worship the deity form of the Lord. You can repeat the mantra, but that doesn't necessarily make you a Brahmin. And since one is not given the empowerment to serve the deities, the Lord's form, therefore on that basis I'm saying that they're not going to attain perfection. Moreover, we know that even chanting Krishna's names, such as Krishnaya, Govindaya, Gopijana, Balabhaya, even chanting Krishna's names, there are offenses which are meant to be avoided. One of the offenses is Guru Vagya, to commit offense to the spiritual master. One offense to the spiritual master is to jump over one's predecessor, to chant a mantra without receiving it from a spiritual master is committing that offense. So one could well argue that if one chants a mantra without receiving it in the succession, his chanting falls into the category of Namaparad. Namaparad still has potency, but the result is very, very slow. Therefore, we should do things in the authorized way, as Srila Prabhupada says in talking to devotees, that anyone can chant Hare Krishna, but if you don't receive it from the spiritual master, then it's like going to university. Everyone can sit in on a university class, and they can get the knowledge, they can get the information that's being taught, but they don't get a diploma. And with the diploma, you can't become a serious practitioner. So similarly, you don't get your diploma to go back to Godhead without having heard the mantra from the spiritual master. Next question. She says that chanting Lord's primary names gives Vastu Siddhi, whereas secondary names leads to Swarup Siddhi. But if one achieves one's Swarup Siddhi, doesn't one automatically attain Vastu Siddhi when one leaves this body and returns to the spiritual world? I'd be curious to see what Manjari is referring to. If it is stated, if she's citing a reference, that one does attain one's Vastu Siddhi on chanting secondary names. Secondary names of Krishna are like Ishvara, Bhagwan, and so on. then based on the principle of Jejitamam Prapadyante, the Swarup Siddhi that one attains by that type of chanting is that of neutrality, that yes, I am part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, or that even a, generally, I'm a servant of the Supreme Lord. But it's not the type of Swarup Siddhi in which one understands that I'm a coward boy, I'm an assistant of Mother Yashoda, I'm a gopi, and so on, because the potency or the name does not reveal that specific potency, and the relationships are not inherent. The only relationship is awe and reverence. At most, one would have a very general relationship as master and servant, not a master and servant in Braj, but master and servant of Vaikuntha, or even more probably the relationship of the Gyanis have with the Lord, worshipping Him from a distance. But if one does chant those secondary names and does achieve that Santaras, or General Dasyaras relationship, one will then start to chant by proper association, by good association. One will be inspired to chant the primary names, and with the primary names, one will then attain a full Swarup Siddhi, and that Swarup Siddhi, which then will then lead one to one's eternal relationship with Krishna, Vastu Siddhi, in the spiritual world. Her next question is that the Shalagram is said to be the seat of the Lord, or like the Dham, whereas the deity is not different than the Lord. So what is Giriraja's position, that of the Shalagram or the deity? And what does it mean that the Shalagram is the seat of the Lord? The distinction between the Shila form of the Lord, and I would say that Shalagram and Giriraj are both in the same category, is that they don't manifest the Lord's form. The Lord's form is His most attractive feature, and His form, His face, is most attractive still. This is stated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, therefore, although, for instance, the Shila, the stone, or the marble wood of the deity, all are the potencies or the energies of the Lord, however, further attributes of the Lord are manifest by the deity than they are by the Shila. And therefore, it's considered to be in a different category of the Lord's manifestation. That's when this word seat is used, and this is Jiva Goswami who makes this statement in Bhakti Sandarbha, although it's not something that he elaborates on any further. When he uses this word seat of the Lord, it implies that the Lord is present, but He isn't manifest His full form in the way that is manifest in the deity form. So, yes, I would posit that Giriraj and Shalagram are the same, like that, the seat of the Lord, whereas the deity form of the Lord is full-fledged manifestation, non-different than the Lord in His original spiritual transcendental form. That is, unless and until Giriraj or Shalagram decide that they want to manifest that form feature, as for instance, for Gopal Bhatta Goswami, the Shalagram manifest into the form of Radharaman. The Lord can do whatever He likes. The last question, she's citing Bhagavatam, 11th canto, the verse Achayamam Vijaniyam, which we all know, and it ends with Sarva Deva Mayo Guru. So she says that in the Bhagavatam it says that the spiritual master is a representative of demigods, and in Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada translates the verse differently, saying that by serving the Guru, one automatically serves the demigods. So how should us Gaudiya Vaishnavas meditate on this verse, the spiritual master being the representative of the demigods? Seems very easy that if someone is the representative of the demigods, then by serving them, you're automatically serving the demigods. And what to speak of the demigods, Sakshat Hari, you're also serving the Supreme Lord. And the demigods are, of course, part of limbs of the Supreme Lord. So both directly in the demigods as personalities or as limbs of the Lord, a service rendered to the spiritual master satisfies the demigods and the Supreme Lord, he being their representative. Therefore, for people who want to worship demigods or serve demigods, that can be achieved simply by service to their spiritual master. And spiritual master means spiritual masters, Diksha Gurus, Shiksha Gurus, and our Acharyas, Srila Prabhupada, our Guru Parampara. Specifically in the introduction to the first canto, Srila Prabhupada says that all perfection in devotional service is achieved by serving the orders of the Mahabhagavata. Srila Prabhupada is the Mahabhagavata that we all know as the founder Acharya of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. And by serving his instructions, his mission, through his representatives directly to him, one then is assured of perfection, because one is satisfying not only Lord Krishna, not only the demigods, but the entire Guru Parampara, whom he is also the representative of, and therefore, by pleasing him, one also pleases them. So let us all please our spiritual masters, and that way be assured of all success in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna.